Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org or on the WDIY app, as well as many streaming services. Today is March 18th, 2026. The markets were down today, with the Dow closing down at 46,225, the NASDAQ at 22,152, and the S&P at 6,624. I'm going to make one comment about the markets and the volatility. Number one, it's expected. These are how the markets work, up and down, up and down. Markets seem to be very fickle. Quite often they forget, either week to week, day to day. What's going on. And I like to remind people that today's, you know, drop in the market is still the highs that we had, you know, just in recent months, and certainly the highs over the last, you know, couple years. So just keep that in mind. You want to make sure that you're, you know, in it for the long term and that you have the funds you need for the short term. You know, quite often someone might call and say, I want to get out of the market. I want to get out of the market. And let's pretend they have, you know, $1 million. My question always is, do you need the $1 million tomorrow? So discipline is really important, and I'm going to mention that in a little bit. Our topic tonight is what are you missing in your financial life? And, you know, it's just going to be kind of thoughts off the top of my head somewhat with a little bit from my outline. But what are you missing in your financial life? As always, during tax season, I'm always willing to take tax questions as well. I love questions, love tax questions. If you do have those, we are live, and the phone number is 610-758-8810. Bob and Cindy are in the studio with us this evening, and we'll answer your calls, take your information. We ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I'll do my best to answer them. Again, the number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, just give your question to Cindy, and they'll write it down and bring it in to me. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So, in talking about what are you missing in your financial life, you know, one of the things you might be missing would be a financial advisor. And why might someone have a financial advisor? I've talked about that, you know, in probably years past, and maybe it's time to do another show on the benefits of having a financial advisor. Not everybody needs one, but it can help in situations where you might need a little bit of discipline. Perspective. As I mentioned, you know, I think that it's sometimes helpful to clients to hear from their advisor, you know, that your short-term goals, your short-term cash needs are covered. You know, we're in it for the long term, and to provide that perspective and that discipline and to keep people, you know, from panicking, so to speak. So that could always help. Financial advisors typically don't give tax advice. I mean, our firm happens to also be a tax firm, so we have, you know, various businesses under one roof. And It's hard to keep up with tax law. Even for those of us who are CPAs, it's often very difficult to keep up with it changing. I remember in my early years of, you know, working in accounting, it always seemed like either tax laws were grandfathered or they wouldn't take effect until the next year. And, you know, just in probably the recent like decade or two, it just seems like there's tax changes mid-year, and it's sometimes really hard to follow that bouncing ball and plan for it. So it can mess up some of the tax planning sometimes. But in what might be missing in your financial life is that tax perspective, because that can make a real difference in, you know, dollars in. I always say to people, if you saw $20 on the floor, would you pick it up? I bet you'd pick up a dollar. So if you can kind of take advantage of some tax strategies, that's always important, and kind of being in front of those decisions as well. Investment strategy. An investment advisor could bring some investment strategy perhaps to your investment management, and follow through, meaning you can have, in the CFP world, you know, we have like introduction, we have fact finding, we have analysis, and then we have something called monitoring. So you want to monitor the situation, and then of course implementation. And that implementation is making sure that you're following through on the, you know, the action items. So that's kind of, you know, where a financial advisor might help with your financial life. Some of the items I was going to talk about tonight might, when I said, what are you missing in your financial life? It wasn't necessarily a financial advisor. It was particularly for those people who might be working on their own. This is a show, an educational show, and for those folks who like to do things on their own, there might be a few things we'll talk about tonight that, you know, might get you thinking about, you know, opportunities that you may be able to implement. So we'll talk about those. For example, and this was, these were items that were just kind of like off the top of my head that I thought have come up in situations when I'm working with clients, when we're going through tax season, things I'm seeing, questions I'm getting. So I thought that I would mention, but, you know, typically what I'm thinking about when I say, what are you missing taking advantage of? And one of the big things is the 401k contributions and 401k matching in particular. So you may or may not be able to have the cash flow or the funds available to fund a 401k if you're working. Number one, where you're working has to offer a plan. And number two, you have to be eligible for it. So sometimes you may not be eligible because maybe you're not full time. Maybe you've only worked there, you know, 6 months. Certain 401ks, they will have what we call the summary plan description attached to them. And your employer should give that to you. You know, like either when you're hired or HR might talk to you about it, when they're talking about benefits available, when you're deciding to take the job or not. And those 401ks can be different across different employers. And you might even have more than one employer. So I am going to, you know, raise some issues with that too. But from the 401k plan, you would find what's missing is maybe you can't contribute because, as I said, maybe you're part-time, maybe you don't work as many hours as they require. You have to understand what the plan description is for the employer that you're working for. You don't want to miss putting money into the 401k if you can, you have the money, and you are eligible. You don't want to miss doing that. Why don't you want to miss doing that? Number one, regular contributions to a retirement account. It's a set it and forget it way to save. You know, you're saving and hopefully investing before you have it in your pocket to spend it. So that's one thing. You don't want to miss out on a disciplined saving strategy and potentially investment strategy. The other thing you don't want to miss out on is the match if the employer has the match. Here again, not all employers provide a match. And if you don't know what a match is, I'll explain that in just a minute. But you don't want to miss that. So again, talking about what are you missing in your financial life, opportunities to save for your retirement, opportunities to, you know, kind of get some free money in an employer match. So that very important document, the summary plan description, is really important to know if you would qualify, be eligible, and then what other options might be available within that plan. And I'll talk about that when we come back from our break. The phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
So far, we're thrilled to report that 18 listeners have given blood as part of the Power of a Pint campaign. But we don't want to stop there. Power of a Pint is only at its halfway point, so you still have until the end of March to participate. For every blood donation made this month at a Miller Keystone Blood Center location, an anonymous supporter will also make a $50 donation to WDIY. For more information and registration, visit wdiy.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. Also on many streaming services. We're talking about what are you missing in your financial life. I mentioned 401k opportunities, 401k, it could be a 403b as well if you're working at a nonprofit or educational institution. 403b is just another, you know, Internal Revenue Code section to describe employer retirement plans. So the summary plan description could be important. Remember I said you might have some other options. What are you missing? You might miss an opportunity to put money into a 401k on a Roth basis. So when you put money into a retirement account, it could be on a pre-tax basis where you get a deduction. So if you make $50,000 and you put $5,000 into a 401k, your federal wages are $45,000. Let's pretend you don't put it in a pre-tax, you put it in a Roth because your employer has a Roth feature and you heard, oh, Lori loves Roths and Roth IRAs are great. Roths grow income tax free. So you do that and your $50,000 of wages then on your federal taxable wages is still $50,000. That's because it's after-tax money. So you don't get the tax benefit today. You get the tax benefit in the future. Now, you don't want to miss out on tax planning strategies, meaning if you particularly, I love when young people get into the working world, when you're probably making what could be some of the lowest wages you'll ever make in your life, you could do it perhaps on an after-tax basis because you might be in the lowest tax brackets that you'll be in, you know, because as you go through your long life and working life and career, hopefully you're going to grow, get promoted, take on more responsibility, make more money. And at such time when you're making more money, you might be in a higher tax bracket. And at that point, you might want to do it on a pre-tax basis where you're getting the tax deduction today. That way, you're putting more money in your retirement account today because you're getting a tax benefit today. But then when you take it out, when you retire, then it's going to be taxable. Okay, so you want to look to see if perhaps this is now, I'm talking to people who have been working places for a long time, maybe what you might find when you're looking at your whole portfolio, you might see that most of your money is in retirement accounts. Then when you go to retire and you have to start taking money out to fund your cash flow, all of your money is going to come out of these pre-taxed retirement accounts that you set up. And then, therefore, I told you got the tax benefit on the front end, and now when you take it out, it's all income taxable. The concept has always been that when you retire, you're typically in a lower tax bracket. Sometimes that is still true. Sometimes it isn't as true as it used to be because now Social Security could be included in your taxable income, and you may have a pension, and then you might have IRA distributions. And maybe your IRAs, your 401ks, you know, rolled over to an IRA and they really grew. So now you might have higher taxable income. So I like to also diversify. your buckets from which you can draw from in your retirement years. So another item not to miss. What do you remember the topic of the show? What are you missing in your financial life? And what I might say is when, you know, particularly when you still have time to, you know, diversify your investments, is to look at where would you be drawing money from when you retire? You might have cash in the bank account. You might have, you know, still could be working a little bit, part-time job, or you could have Social Security. You could have pensions. Where else are you going to get money? Oh, my IRA rollover. Where else? Maybe you set up a Roth IRA at some point. The Roth, again, is after-tax money that's growing income tax-free. If you need to grab some money, the Roth would be income tax-free as long as you've had it the longer of 5 years or age 59 and a half. But you can always take out your original contributions, all right? And when you're looking at your retirement account options at work, I told you it could be a 403B, could be 401K. For those people who have been working for a while, not the new ones, maybe you saw it, as I said, you've grown this huge pre-tax account. Maybe you want to revisit your strategy to see, does it make sense to put money in a Roth now? And there's individual Roth IRAs that you can do outside of those employer plans, but you're limited on how much you can do. So in 2026, if you're under 50, you can do $7,500. If you're over 50, you can do $8,600 in 2026. But within an employer plan, you can do the 401k or 403b limits, which are much, much higher. So the 401k and 403b limits for 2026, I think we're at like, let me see, $24,500. So you can get money into a Roth much at higher amounts and much faster if you're doing it through an employer plan. Again, if you have that kind of income, you know, if you're only making $40,000, it would be almost impossible to max out that plan. But if you're making, you know, $120,000, $150,000, you may have the cash flow to be able to do that. So you kind of want to balance to see, you know, where are you putting money. But what I do love about the individual Roth IRAs is it's outside the arms of the employer. So what you might be missing, again, if you're not funding a Roth IRA outside of the employer, is you're not subject to the 401k or 403b rules or restrictions that apply to employer plans through that summary plan description, remember. So let's pretend you're, you know, 45 and you want to take money out of your 401k. You're going to find out you really can't without, you know, a lot of issues and problems and handcuffs. But if you had put money into a Roth IRA, you know, starting at, let's say, age 30, and you put, you know, $5,000 a year for 10 years, that's $50,000. Let's see, 30, that was age 30. Now I'm going to say you're age 40. And if you put $5,000 a year for 10 years, you had $50,000 of original contributions in the Roth, assuming you were eligible to put money into the Roth. You could always grab some of that out. Whereas trying to get it out of the 401k, they may not allow it. All right. You heard me say you can take money out of the Roth tax-free the longer of 5 years or age 59 and a half. That applies to the earnings. That applies to the earnings, not to the original contributions. All right. There's other rules around conversions. I'm not going to talk about that right now. But what might you be missing? You might be missing reading your summary plan description, understanding how much you can put into your retirement account, how much the matching might be. Are there options for a Roth? Most of the plans have them now. Your employer had to adopt that as part of the 401k. And most of them are having to adopt that now because there's been new rules around catch-up contributions. Starting in 2026, there's new rules around the catch-up contributions for people who are 50 and older. If you made more than, I think it was like $145,000 in 2025, the catch-up contributions are no longer going to go in pre-tax. They are going to be required to go in the Roth portion. You're not going to get that deduction, that pre-tax benefit on your catch-up contributions if you were over those income levels in 2025. So your employer would have a Roth feature to accept the catch-up contributions if, in fact, you were maxing out your plans. Folks, we're at the second break. If you have questions about anything I'm talking about or even taxes, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100 or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. Topic tonight, what are you missing in your financial life? If you have questions, Bob and Cindy are here. The phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to them and they'll write it down and bring it in to me. Talking about what are you missing in your financial life, maybe a financial advisor to help with discipline and perspective, tax law, investment strategy, follow through, implementation, monitoring, maybe employer matching with retirement accounts. Maybe you're missing doing the catch-up contribution. You are in denial that you turned 50 and you can do more. You can contribute more to your 401k. You know, most people don't max out, by the way, max out their 401k. So again, for employees that are 50 or younger, it's $24,500 for 2026 and with a catch-up contribution of $8,000. And but for people who are 60 to 63, you might be missing this. People who are 60 to 63, if your plan allows it, and most of the plans hopefully would be adopted to factor this in. There's an additional, there's a new catch-up contribution. So you heard me say for those who are 50 or older, the catch-up contribution is $8,000 for 2026. Well, if you're between ages 60 and 63, the catch-up contribution is not $8,000, it's $11,250. Then there's an overall employee limit of the 32.5, assuming the 8,000, 34,750 if you're 60 to 63. What I want to say about that, what you might be missing, remember you heard me kind of allude earlier that you might have more than one W-2, you might have more than one job. Sometimes people switch jobs mid-year, they take on new jobs. I've seen where people max out their 401k with one employer, they move to a new employer, and then they start putting away their pre-tax contributions. Well, you have an annual cap no matter how many employers you have. It's not per employer in that case. So you have to be careful with that. Another situation, and we did just see that. So I have a client right now that we had to alert her, hey, you know what? You've over-contributed. You changed jobs. You already maxed out your last employer. And then your new employer in December, you set up an automatic 401k deferral, which is great, but you forgot you already maxed it out. Now you have to go to that new employer and tell them to reverse that contribution because you're over contributed. And if you over contribute, then the IRS is going to assess excise taxes on excess contributions. So excise taxes on excess contributions. So you want to get that out by April 15th before the filing date to properly report it. Otherwise, you might have penalties for keeping it in there. So that's the employee overall total. That's for 401ks, 403bs. The IRA limits are different. The IRAs, as I said, you might still be able to do, if you're under 50, $7,500 in 2026 to an IRA or to a Roth. And if you're over 50, it's an additional $1,100 in 2026. But you have to be within certain income limits, all right? So certain income limits. And the income limits for those can kind of vary. And I have my 2025 numbers. But for the Roth IRA, for married, filed, and joint, under 236, you can still do the Roth, the $7,500 at 50 or over, an extra $1,100. This is 2026, but I'm giving you 2025 phase outs. So it does adjust for inflation, but this is just your ballpark. Over 246 is, it might be 252 now. 252,000 is the phase out. And then for single, it's 153 and the phase out's 168. All right. So, you know, and there's lower income limits for the IRA, for a deductible IRA. But for the Roth, you can still do the Roth contributions at a fairly high income level. And as I said, you can always get out those original contributions. So I do try to track those for clients in case they end up needing that money. But back to the 401ks and the 403bs. So we have this employee limit, but there's also an employer plus employee limit when you combine them. So the total annual contributions for the employee and employer, and even the after-tax amounts that some employers allow, if all of those are allowed, there's still a cap on those amounts, meaning if the employer puts in a match for you, and then maybe if you're highly compensated, they might put some extra in, there is still an overall cap for that. And that's like $72,000 to $80,000 to $83,000, $250,000. Those amounts depend on if we're talking about a catch-up for those various ages. So I had another client who has their own 401k, has a 401k, employer throws in a lot of extra money. We're talking about doctors here. And he has a second job now. And so he was asking, could he contribute to the new 401k of the second employer? So he's working two different jobs. And I said, well, how much are your, you know, is your current employer, the bigger employer, putting in? And, oh, we max it, we max it. It all gets maxed out. Well, then he can't put any money in the new employer, because he's already maxed out on the original employer, which he will keep both jobs, okay? So these are questions that someone might not know to ask, but you have to ask them, and to avoid having excess contributions, again, as I mentioned. All right, but if you are someone who doesn't need the tax deduction or you like the idea of that tax-free growth, you can put a lot more money in the Roth through the Roth feature of a 401k. They're different retirement accounts. That's why you just want to keep in mind they're different retirement accounts. So sometimes people don't realize, let's pretend you put money in the Roth 401k and you cap it out. You could still do the individual Roth. It's separate. They're different. Different limits. Okay? So just keep that in mind. Some people don't realize that. All right, so 401ks, we don't want you missing matching. We don't want you missing the catch-up contribution. We don't want you missing maybe Roth features. So if you have been working somewhere for a long time, you didn't realize that your employer adopted the Roth feature to the 401k, it might be time to like review whether that makes sense for you or not. Maybe one of you, maybe you're married and one spouse stopped working and your income's down, and maybe you don't need that tax deduction. So you could do, you know, change your 401k contributions to the Roth feature of the 401k and put more money away that way. All right. And again, if you're between 60 and 63, you have even more money you can put in through the catch up, and you don't want to maybe miss out on that. So you don't want to miss. All right. Now, some of the other things we're going to talk about, I'm going to talk a little bit about health savings account if I have time. I want to talk about beneficiary updates. What might you be missing on that? Flexible spending accounts, qualified charitable distributions, powers of attorney. What you might be missing there. So when we come back from the halfway point, I'll talk more about some of those. What are you missing in your financial life? If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And welcome back. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Cindy. Tonight, we're talking about what are you missing in your financial life? I want to add, too, that you heard me mention if you have a spouse, maybe a spouse stopped working, your income comes down a little bit, maybe, and you might be able to take advantage of doing Roth contributions to your 401k instead, or just simply Roth contributions to individual accounts. Again, you can get access to that easier than you can through your 401k, so that might be the way to go, meaning put in enough in your 401k to get the match. Then if you're allowed to put money into the Roth into an individual account, do that next. So that's the next layer of saving. And then put more money into the 401k if that makes sense and you have enough money. But the other thing you don't want to miss if you do have a spouse is you may be able to still put money into a retirement account for a spouse, or maybe your spouse never worked. You still may be able to put money into a retirement account for your spouse based on your own earned income and wages. And the income limits for that are higher than for you as an individual for funding a deductible IRA and or a Roth. So just keep that in mind. I don't want to miss out on that. The other thing I do want to mention before I forget about it is you have to have earnings. So I recently ran into a situation where a young person, I'm so proud of them putting money into a Roth IRA, you know, brand new tax client, very proud of him for doing that, but unfortunately he didn't have any earnings. So it was nice that he was putting money into a Roth. He had been, you know, gifted some money and thought he could put so much into his Roth every year because he just simply looked at, oh, you know, this is allowed. You can put, in this case, it was $7,000 last year. You could put $7,000 into the Roth, but he didn't realize he had to have earnings. So he was fortunate enough to, you know, be given a gift. He was a student. He didn't have wages, thought it was really smart to put it in the Roth. I love that. But he missed the little part that said you have to have earnings. So let's pretend you made $5,000 and the limit was seven. Well, if you earned $5,000, you reported $5,000 of earnings on your tax return, then you could put $5,000 into the Roth. If you earned, you know, $100,000 and you are within the Roth limits to be able to contribute, you can as a single person. Let's pretend you made $100,000. You can still fund a Roth in that way. All right. Okay. So just know you have to have earnings, but it is capped. So capped on the amount to the individual Roth. And if you still had a lot of extra money, you could still do the 401k Roth if your employer provided that. All right. A quick note on health savings accounts. If you have a high deductible health plan, I see a lot of people miss this. And I'm going to talk more about this next week when I talk about, taking a deeper dive in tax-free investment vehicles. So next week, I'm going to talk about that. But a health savings account is a tax-free investment vehicle. And what I often see when I look at a W-2 for people who have a high deductible health plan at work, you see a code W on the W-2, and that tells me how much money they've contributed to their health savings account. And there's limits on the health savings account. For a single person for 2026, it's $4,400. And for a family plan, it's $8,750. And there's a $1,000 catch-up, a different age here, if you're 55 or over, unlike the IRA and Roth IRA and 401k, which was 50 and over. Why they aren't consistent with these things is beyond me. But at 55 and over, you can do an extra $1,000 to the health savings account. If you have a spouse, they have to open a separate health savings account to put the $1,000 in. But the best way to, what you're missing here is putting in the amount that's allowed for either the single plan or the married plan. So for example, the married plan is $4,400. Sometimes I see on the W-2, you know, $2,200 or $2,400. You know, take advantage of maxing it because number one, you will have high deductibles with this high deductible health plan. But if you're young and you may not need it, maybe you don't have big expenses for medical, you're getting a tax deduction for federal, for state, for Social Security, for Medicare. You're saving tons of taxes on this. You know, up front, when you're doing it through payroll deduction, you don't want to miss that. You put that into the health savings account. Let's pretend your deductible is $2,000. And you want to make sure you have that $2,000 available to pay for any medical expenses you might have. But let's pretend you put in the $4,400. So you have an extra $2,400. And then maybe the next year you do the same thing. Now your HSA account is building up. What are you doing with it? Well, you have the option to invest that money. So typically what I like people to consider is investing the money they don't think they're going to need for their medical expenses. And when you invest it within the health savings account, investment side, so there's usually two accounts, one just the regular HSA health savings account. Again, you have to have a high deductible health plan. But then there's also the investment side. So it's a separate account and you can choose the investments and it can grow income tax-free. Income tax-free can grow forever until you use it. And you can use it for qualified medical expenses, and then it's not taxable. So let's pretend, you know, you've built up, you know, $10,000 in the health savings account, you invested it, you know, 5 years later, you've put some extra money into it, it's earned some money, and let's pretend your original investment in that over X amount of years is now, you know, $15,000, and your investment in it was 10, you have 5,000 of earnings, you could take 15,000 out for medical expenses. You have some big, you know, surgery or something, you have to take 15 out. None of that extra money is income taxable as long as it's used for qualified medical expenses. Imagine doing that for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. When these first came out, like, no one was doing them. Like, no one. I mean, people, I think they were afraid of the high deductible health plan. They were afraid of the high deductible health cost. And really, very few people were doing them. Well, I see a lot more people doing them now in more recent years because of the income tax benefits, and particularly because young people quite often, again, don't usually have like major medical expenses, and they can afford the high deductible because they never go to the doctor and they don't have high medical expenses. So they can put all of this money away into a high health savings account, get it invested and growing income tax-free. But the part you don't want to miss is number one, maxing the health savings account if you can afford to with cash flow. And number two, you don't want to miss out investing it if you have excess money beyond, you know, what you might need for your normal medical expenses. So I can talk more about that next week as well. Something else you don't want to miss, if you are not someone who wants a high deductible health plan, don't have a high deductible health plan, but your work may offer something called the flexible spending account, you don't want to miss out on that. That also saves income tax on the front side for taxes, for federal, possibly state, depending on what state you live in. But there's a flexible spending account that may be eligible if you're not a participant in a health savings account. There's one little caveat on that, but it's too complicated to explain right now. But let's pretend you don't have the health savings account. You're just going to do the normal flexible spending account. There's two options. One is for health flexible spending account. That's up to $3,400. And they've upped the amount for a flexible spending dependent care account. It used to be like $5,000 forever, and now it's $7,500. So you don't want to miss out on that extra higher amount. Some people might not have realized that. And if you can only change it during open enrollment, you might think, oh, I'm late to the game. Well, there are something called life events that if you have a life event during the year, don't miss out on updating maybe the flexible spending for a life event. If you now have had a child, that's a life event. You might need more childcare. They would allow you to increase the amount that you're putting into the dependent care flexible spending account if you hadn't done it before. The same thing happens if all of a sudden someone loses a job and you don't need the childcare anymore. If you're putting money into a flexible spending account for childcare and now you don't have childcare, you got a deduction for all of that. When you go to do your tax return, if you don't have dependent care expenses that match that dependent care, then it comes back in as taxable income. So rather than kind of risk having that happen, if you have a life event where you lose a one of the partners loses a job and you don't need the childcare anymore, you can let your employer know you had a life event, someone lost a job, you don't have childcare anymore, and you could stop the payroll deduction for the flexible spending account for dependent care. All right. QCDs, qualified charitable distributions, we don't want you to miss out on those. For anybody who's 70 and a half or older, if you're writing checks out of your bank account and you have big IRAs, in lieu of taking it out of your bank account, you can take it out of your IRA. You have to wait till you're 70 and a half, but you can take contributions to 501c3 charitable organizations out of your IRA and not pay income tax on it. So I'll mention that next week too when we talk about tax-free investment vehicles, because you could almost turn your IRA that's taxable into a little bit of a tax-free vehicle when it's relating to qualified charitable distributions at age 70 and a half. Why 70 and a half? That was the old required minimum distribution age. And when they provided legislation to allow charitable giving out of your IRA, the age was 70 and a half. So when they've increased the required minimum distributions to age 72, then to 73, and for some of us it's age 75, they never changed the QCD age of 70 and a half. So you could do it. But what I usually tell people, if at 70 and a half, you don't have to take money out of your retirement account, you don't need it, then I would wait to do your charitable giving out of your IRA when you have an RMD, when you have a required minimum distribution. At 70 and a half, it might be nothing. At 71, it might be nothing. 72, it might be nothing that, you know, you'd have to take out. And if at age 73, your required minimum distributions, you know, $55,000, and you're normally giving $5,000 a year to the church, well, just tell the church, hang on, you know, don't worry, we'll do it in a couple years. Then of your $50,000 that you have to take out at age 73, right there, you could do 3 years worth of giving and have $15,000 tax-free dollars going to your charity for giving that you otherwise would have done anyway. And again, instead of out of your bank account, you're doing it out of your IRA. There's different ways to do that, but the checks have to come from the custodian. You can't take the money out, put it in your bank account, and then write the check and say, oh, well, you know, it was from my IRA. I took that money out of my IRA and put it in the bank. No, don't miss this opportunity to do it directly out of the IRA account. The custodian has to write the check. That's how it becomes tax-free. And they're going to start tracking these for us, so it's going to make it a lot easier for us at tax time. We don't want you to miss that sometimes those 1099-Rs have to be adjusted to reflect those QCDs. Folks, we are at the last break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. If you have questions, there's still some time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. You could also send questions through yourfinancialchoices.com. But we have a question from Bridger right now. Hi, Bridger.
Hi there. So I have a tax question.
Okay.
As a freelance audio producer, I have a mix of different income sources. So some of it's W-9, some of it's 1099. Some of it's through Zelle and Venmo and those kinds of things. So in the past, as long as I do all of my deductions right and I keep track of everything, I haven't really had to owe much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I usually get a return of something. In 25, I have more 1099 income than I've ever had. And so I haven't done my taxes yet, but I'm thinking I might owe more than I usually do. So I'm curious with this 1099 client that I'm going to continue to work for to some extent into this year. What I've started to do and what I want to make sure is a reasonable method of preparing for that is every time I get a paycheck, just taking, you know, apart from my other saving, taking 20% of that and putting that into a high-yield savings account just for the taxes that I might owe.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I get a paycheck that has had taxes taken out of it, not worrying about it as much, like when I get a payment that's from a W-9.
W-2.
Mm-hmm. W-2, yeah. Uh-huh. Is that a reasonable technique to go about it? I mean, I haven't in the past honestly saved for taxes because I've never really owed, I'm wondering if that might change.
I think it's a good idea to get in the habit of setting aside money. Quite often, I will actually tell people to set aside 40%.
Okay, wow. Right.
And the reason I say 40%, Bridger, is because as a self-employed person, you're going to have the federal income tax, mm-hmm. state income tax, maybe even local income tax, but you also are going to be responsible for paying both sides of Social Security and Medicare. So mm-hmm. the Social Security and Medicare for an employee is 7.65%. As the employee and employer, yours is 15.65. Did I say that right? 7.35, something like 15 point, all of a sudden I can't add. It's over 15%. There's a little bit of a deduction you get for the amount of self-employment tax you pay. But if I know already that's like 15%+, mm-hmm. then I know you're 20, you've already eaten into 15% of that. So the Fed, state, local, and Social Security and Medicare. But I also like people to have something for retirement mm-hmm. savings. So if you have a little bit extra or you've saved even a little bit more because taxes might come in, depending on where you are with how much income you're bringing in, if the taxes come in lower, you have some of that set aside, but then you might need extra to fund a retirement account or want to fund a retirement account. And again, that all depends on cash flow. So as a self-employed person starting out, you're young, it might take a while to start to build up the business. And so initially, if you're in a low tax bracket and you have extra cash flow, a Roth IRA might be a great opportunity. And if you have set aside 40%, then you might have that money available to put something in the Roth. Now, when you're self-employed, we don't go off the revenue that comes in. So let's pretend your revenue for your first year, and I'm making these numbers up, let's pretend you bring in $20,000. Mm-hmm. The Roth eligibility isn't based on the $20,000, it's based on your profit. So let's pretend it's the first year you're in business, you've brought in $20,000, that's great, but you had to buy a bunch of equipment, and you're writing it all off. You're taking depreciation. It's called Section 179. Let's pretend you write it all off. So you're $20,000 less. You bought $15,000 of equipment. Your profit's only $5,000, maybe.
Right.
So you've lowered your self-employment tax. So remember, I told you the 7.65 plus 7.65 is 15.3. So the 15.3 of self-employment tax is based on your profit, not the gross amount again. So you've brought your self-employment tax down. And now with those deductions, you might have brought your federal tax down. So now with that savings you set aside, you might be able to put more into a retirement account. So, you know, I love Roth. That's a good way to start. If at some point your income gets so high that now you're really running into a tax situation where you're paying much higher income taxes and you really would rather pay yourself, you may be able to set up what's called a solo 401k. Mm-hmm. So you heard me at the top of the show talking about the 401ks with an employer, and you can put away a lot more money. When you're self-employed, if those Roth individual limits aren't enough of a deduction for you. Remember, I said for 2026, it's $7,500. You could either do a deductible IRA or you could do a Roth IRA for $7,500. But let's say now you're in year five of your business and you're making oodles of money. Well, it might not be enough to get a deduction, a deductible IRA of, you know, $7,500. You might need something a lot more. You could set up a solo 401k, and then you could put in all those bigger amounts I mentioned. And the nice thing is, when you're self-employed, you can put in the employee piece, and you can put in the employer piece, and you have flexibility, and you can do it even after the tax year. So let's pretend you didn't realize you were going to have this phenomenal year in 2025. You made boatloads of money. Now you're going to owe these taxes. Well, you might be able to have set up the 401k. You anticipated this. You set up the 401k in, you know, December, and we have until the extension due date to fund that 401k for my self-employed people. And we've done this where we had someone just like you many, many years ago, self-employed for the first time, didn't know where the income was going to come in. Income came in really high, but he really didn't have the cash flow to fund the 401k at that point. We had the 401k set up. We extended his return, and he had the money by the fall, by the extension due date to fund it. So you have a number of options, but I would like to see you set aside more than 20% if you can.
And I should say that 20% that I'm thinking of, that's after I've funded my Roth.
Oh, good job.
For the month. So I might not be quite at that being 20%, but it's close. It's somewhere.
Good job.
So
I love it.
Just thinking of, like, if I get hit with owing that, you know, $5,000 of taxes, I don't have to draw out of my whatever
savings,
reserves.
Right. That's great. That's great. And I love, Bridger, when people don't count their savings as like an expense, meaning you already funded the Roth. That's great.
Yeah.
I had someone once come in and their budget just wasn't making sense to me because they had so much money and I couldn't figure it out because in their budget, it looked like they shouldn't have no money.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's because they had as an expense their savings.
Nice.
Their savings was one of their expenses. So that's kind of what you've done with the Roth.
Yeah.
So that's great. Yeah. So just make sure you have the earned income. And sometimes when you also have the W-2 income, then that federal withholding may or may not cover the overall taxes due. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes what happens when an employer is looking at a W-2, and let's pretend it's a part-time job for you and you're making, you know, $15,000. Well, they say, oh, you have a standard deduction of about that much. They're not going to withhold any federal tax. But what they don't know is that you're over here working your self-employed job, and let's pretend you make $40,000. Well, when you add 40 to your 20 of wages, now we have 60,000 of taxable income. now you're going to definitely owe taxes, yeah. and your employer didn't withhold anything, you're going to be like, why didn't they withhold anything? Well, it's because they thought that was your only income. So you do have to kind of watch when you're getting income from multiple sources that you're calculating and figuring the tax on the total income, you know, profit plus wages. Okay, great question. I'm glad you're ahead of all of these things, so you don't want to miss. You want to be in front of your decisions. Folks, with my few minutes that I have left, something that I want to mention that when I, the topic of the show, what are you missing in your financial life? You know, I can't stress enough missing your estate planning documents. I think more than half the population does not have estate planning documents. I'm talking about a will, power of attorney, health care, powers of attorney, living will. You don't want to, number one, miss having those. Number two, you don't want to miss having beneficiary designations or updating beneficiary designations and understanding that your will could say something completely different than what your beneficiary designations are designated to do. So I've said this before, if you have beneficiary designations going, you know, everything to my two kids, and your will says everything to my brother, and you say to your brother, I love you, brother, so much, I can't stand my kids, everything's going to go to you in my will. Well, if everything is beneficiary designation to those two lousy kids, nothing's going through the will because the beneficiary designations on your IRAs, your, you know, bank accounts, your brokerage accounts, if everything is going to your two kids, nothing might be going through your will. Your favorite brother isn't going to get anything. So you don't want to miss understanding how your beneficiary designations may be different than your will. Okay? And I see this happen all the time. I'm always putting this stuff in Excel spreadsheets to demonstrate for people what they think their intentions are, but what the reality is. So don't miss out on having estate documents, having proper beneficiary designations, including contingent beneficiary designations. You know, I'm all about following the threads. I'm all about having options. Contingent beneficiary designations give the survivors options. You could have a situation where the primary beneficiary doesn't need the money. They don't want it. They could say, I don't want it. I disclaim it. Act like I'm not here anymore. Well, then the person who died, if they said, okay, you know, I'm mom and I say to my three kids and my three kids end up being ultra wealthy and they don't need any of the money. And I said to my three kids or to their children, then my three kids could disclaim, or one could disclaim. They could disclaim part of it. They could disclaim all of it. They could say, I don't want it. Well, they don't get to decide. My primary beneficiaries don't get to decide who the money goes to. I get to decide in my contingent beneficiary designations. So if my kids don't want it, I might say to my grandchildren, you know, it's called per stirpes, but maybe I don't have any grandchildren. And if I say, you know, maybe to my spouse and then to my children. But if I don't have a spouse, I might say to my children or to my niece, to my nephew, whatever it might be. But if they don't survive me, then who do I want it to go to? Maybe it's charity, or maybe I want my IRA to go 100% to charity, and I want my all my other assets to go to my children. So, but your will might say everything to my children. And you might think, oh, well, how did I take care of the charity? Well, you took care of the charity by naming them the beneficiary on the IRA account. So you just have to kind of like follow the threads on that. Powers of attorney, you don't want to miss those. Powers of attorney, a lot of power in a power of attorney. Lot of power. You got to make sure that you read the power of attorney, understand, have the attorney explain it to you, and the attorney helps you draft that power of attorney. You know, quite often what I see when there's families and there's children, there's a lot of trust there and they give all these powers. You know, you can disclaim, you can change the beneficiaries, you can, you know, move money, change accounts, and that might be okay. You might have a very close family, but maybe you don't have children and maybe you have a niece or a nephew who you want to be your power of attorney. That's a lot of power to give them if you say you can change beneficiaries. Maybe you want everything going to charity. And, you know, the niece or nephew are like, hey, well, you know, I'm family. Don't you want to give it to me? And they could go in, you know, when you're incapacitated and change to beneficiaries if your power of attorney allows that. But your power of attorney might have said, you can't change the beneficiaries to someone other than I've already named, something like that. You know, the attorneys can be really specific on the language they use. So don't miss reading your powers of attorney and understanding what powers you're giving to that power, to that agent for you, okay? So next week, folks, we are going to take a deeper dive on tax-free investment vehicles or opportunities. Thank you, Bob and Cindy, for being here. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Bridger, and thank you for the question. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. Be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.